T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A high drive to right. This ball is going, and it is gone. A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. Can you believe it?
Dale Arnold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sexy. Oh, sexy. Yeah.
Rich Keefe.
There's never been a player in the history of the game that comes out of the box and says he was hit by a ball unless he was.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
I think
How
he did.
Dumb. I mean, you know what? He may have, but just so dumb. So dumb.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
God almighty, do we only have 4 hours to get to all this stuff?
That's it, 4 hours. We've got to make it count.
I don't know how we get all this in 4 hours.
I know, it's going to be tough.
All the stuff that happened last night, all the stuff this morning, all the charges, all the rumor and innuendo.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's such
good
stuff.
That's right. What a win.
Let's start with Nathan Eovaldi.
Guy's your best pitcher. Who would have thought?
He has become the best starting pitcher you have in the playoffs.
They have two Cy Young Award winners and Chris Sale in the rotation. And Nathan Eovaldi is their best starting pitcher. A guy who they acquired in the middle of the season for Jalen Beeks. Jalen Beeks. And they get Nathan Eovaldi, and he was lights out against the Yankees. And to his credit, goes out there against the Astros and looks almost as good. And I was thinking, well, you know what? He dominates the Yankees. I didn't expect him to look as good. I said, you know what? He can go 5 or 6 innings, but how good is he going to be? How effective is he going to be against that lineup? And he made those guys look pretty average. And just another great start from Nathan freaking Eovaldi.
I love the fact that Alex Cora trusted him to leave him in.
Yeah.
It was great.
Right.
By the way, just a quick aside here. This game was tied. The game was tied after 5 innings. And it's the Astros bullpen that imploded. It's the Astros bullpen that couldn't hold on to things.
No, it wasn't.
The bullpen that we were told that going into this series that the Astros rotation was clearly better and their bullpen was clearly better.
Right.
Neither thing has been true so far.
No, last night, it's not even close. And then Roberto Osuna.
Why do bad things happen to good people, huh?
I hate that guy. And you know his teammates hate him, too. And then even when
they
don't like the person, and now the performance, now you don't have either thing going for you.
How did the general manager sell that?
I don't know.
Especially, how do you sell? Oh, well, he can't go for a while. There's some legal issues here. It has to do with domestic violence and stuff, but it'll be fine.
Well, especially with Justin Verlander, and there's another player. I forget if it was tonight's starter, Charlie Morton, or there's another guy on the team that were very outspoken. And you remember there was the image of the one minor league player. It was disgusting to watch. Remember in like the hallway, there was a video of the minor league player and his girlfriend. And Verlander was
like
very
in a
outspoken.
Staircase or something.
It was sickening to watch. And Verlander was commenting on that, was very outspoken about that guy and everything else. And then they acquire Roberto Osuna, and they had to have like a toggle. And it was a big story in Houston, and they had to figure it out. And he had to talk to the team. The general manager was talking to the team, and I would say they they accepted him enough. Like, obviously, they didn't have a revolt on him.
I assume he doesn't have to change by himself in another room somewhere.
Maybe after last night he does,
maybe after that.
I mean, he got absolutely shelled. But that was the difference, too. And A.J. Hinch, that was the 8th inning and trying to keep the game close. You know, it's a 1-run game. And we saw a couple of nights ago, maybe, you know, Alex Cora could have done that. Now, that was Alex Cora was thrown out of the game, but maybe Alex Cora.
We sort of know who was making the calls.
Maybe Alex Cora could have done that instead of going with Brandon Workman. He could have brought in somebody else to try to keep the game close. So that's what Hinch tries to do, but it completely blows up in his face. You get the Bradley Grand Slam, and Osuna was a disaster and gives up 5 runs. But the bigger story probably is Nathan Eovaldi and just how good he looked. And for him to go 6, it allowed Cora to go with more what he wanted rather than having to go, do I grab another starter and have them pitch the 8th like, you know, Rick Porcello did? What do you do?
Let me just point out you mocked me.
I mocked you?
You mocked me fairly often, but you mocked me.
But this one really hurt.
Oh, you mocked me when I suggested that Ryan Brazier would be a good 8th inning guy. Ryan Brazier is nails.
Well, he's a 7th inning guy, Dale.
Well, he was last night.
I have a semantics.
No, isn't he Brazier's nails?
Great. After his first appearance, the first against the Yankees, not in this series, but his first appearance against the Yankees, he said, "Oh boy, he looks like a 31-year-old rookie who's never pitched in the postseason." But then after that, and you know what the turning point was? Him telling Gary Sanchez,
"Get back in the bleeping box!
Get back in the box!" That was the best moment for Ryan Brazier, and since then he has been really confident. Yeah, Ryan Brazier. Think about Ryan Brazier and Nathan Eovaldi being two of the most important pitchers on the staff. Think about all the millions of dollars invested into all the other guys.
You feel better about Ryan Brazier than you do Craig Kimbrell.
You do.
I know.
You absolutely do. Yeah, last night, even when it was 3-2, I was like, oh boy. If it was 3-2 in the ninth, holy smokes, would that have been scary stuff. But then you didn't even have to see Kimbrell. And, you know, thanks to Roberto Osuna. But you're right, Ryan Brazier is the guy. I mean, he's been really, really good. And, you know, even Matt Barnes, I know he walked a guy, but he got a couple of outs. Matt Barnes, when he's out there, I don't feel as confident as I do Ryan Brazier, of all things, which is kind of surprising.
He even got Joe Kelly last night.
Even got a little bit of Joe Kelly.
Little taste.
Just enough. That's enough, probably.
That was a good amount of Joe Kelly last night.
You get me an out, I'll take an out. I don't need much more out of that. But, yeah, first of all, I think it's great to show that starters don't have to be pulled in the fourth inning or in the fifth inning. They can go six. It's possible.
Although everybody seems to be doing that this playoff year.
A lot of them are doing it. But if they're good enough, and Eovaldi too. How about him starting the game throwing 101 miles an hour?
First pitch was like 101.
Just pumping gas.
I never know what the guns are like in different stadiums.
Yeah,
and there's always been, you know, the accusation that the Red Sox gun is juiced up a little bit, that they gin it up so that it looks better than it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's real. What I know is he was throwing real hard.
He was chucking it.
No, you know, I don't have any of the social media or anything like that.
Although, Alex Bregman.
2-for-3.
2-for-3 with a walk.
Single, double walk.
He got on base 3 times again. And is he a wizard at third base or what? How about some of those plays?
You mean he's better than our defensive third baseman? Either one?
Well, there's a bit of egg on my face because I was going on and on about how awful Nunez is. Like, Nunez sucks. And even the plays that he made, what an adventure those were.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
I never think he's going to make a play, ever. And he actually did, to his credit. Maybe he should have turned 2 on the 1. It was sort of a tough hop. But even when he makes the play, Steve Pierce has to do the splits, and Steve Pierce has to get it off of 3 hops. Bregman had that one play where he went into foul territory, wasn't even looking at first base, threw a dart right to the glove.
Yeah, like, didn't even budge.
Not even move. I was like, this is unfair. I mean, you got Brooks Robinson over here, and then you got whatever the Red Sox have got going on. Then they finally put Devers in, who I wanted to start. First ball hit to him.
I know.
it's like, come on.
Could Brock Holt play third base?
I think he can. He has to
and
be
I
better.
Might be okay with that.
I think he's got to be better than those guys. He's not worse.
Defensively. Yes. I don't know if he'll contribute much offensively.
Maybe he won't.
He might.
He could.
But he can't be worse than either of those guys.
No, he can't be. But, yeah, no, Bregman was great. Even Correa had some nice plays on the left side. But they couldn't hit. The Astros, and I like their lineup a lot, but those guys couldn't hit. Eovaldi was dominant, and then the relievers after that were great.
All right, let's get this out of the way, because it was Danny Picard who broke this thing wide open last night.
Yes, I know. I saw that. All over this.
You know, Rob Manfred gets a lot of credit, and he deserves a lot of credit. He is a gutless coward when it comes to this allegation.
Talking about Keith Law?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no, you're talking about
Rob Manfred.
Rob Manfred.
So this wasn't a one-time thing.
Right.
By the way, it's really funny. The guy who writes for Baseball Prospectus, who also writes for Forbes magazine, did he get sold a bill of goods by somebody in the Astros organization?
Yeah.
You know, he was only there to make sure the Red Sox weren't stealing signals.
He was policing the police.
Yeah, that's why he was there in the Cleveland series. That's why he was there when the Oakland A's made accusations.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. The fact that Major League Baseball, if not for Danny Picard, that harbinger of truth, that word warrior, if not for Danny Picard, they would have just slid this under the rug, and we'll keep this quiet.
So for those who don't know what we're talking about, Dale, the Astros apparently have been caught cheating or doing something that they weren't supposed to do in this series, and maybe even going back to the last series where they had somebody, a non-credentialed member of their organization, was looking into the Red Sox dugout.
He wasn't just looking, by the way.
He had his cell phone out and was taking
pictures in the dugout
and texting.
And texting.
Yeah. And so First thing I would say when I first saw this story pop up was, as a big fan of the New England Patriots, I'm not going to get too worked up about this.
Is it final? It's final.
I'm really not. Now, should they be doing some of this stuff? It doesn't seem like it, no. And it'll probably go away because it's not the New England Patriots. But these teams looking for these advantages and doing everything like that, that's kind of what a lot of winning teams do. That's sort of the reality.
So Jeff Passan, who wrote about this for Yahoo, took Danny Picard's story and advanced it. He's got pictures of this guy. He's got a picture of Kyle MacLachlan standing outside the Cleveland dugout with his phone trained into the dugout taking a picture.
Kool-Aid Show is all over the place.
Wasn't Kyle MacLachlan the guy in Showgirls? Wasn't that him?
Kyle MacLachlan from Twin Peaks?
Twin Peaks. Same guy. Showgirls.
Same guy,
yeah,
probably.
Same guy.
They've got another picture of Kyle MacLachlan posing with the owner, Jim Crane, with whom he's supposedly pals, wearing an ID badge on his belt that says Houston Astros. They've got another picture of Kyle MacLachlan posing next to a private airplane that has the logos of Houston Astros, Crane, and all the other companies that Jim Crane owns. And Passan took Danny Picard's great scoop and advanced it. If not for somebody in security giving the stuff to Danny Picard, Major League Baseball wants to just, don't say anything.
Right.
Let's just keep this quiet. We'll take care of this.
They don't want to deal with this. And they've dealt with some other strange stories that got swept under. Was it the Astros that did the computer hack?
Cardinals.
Oh, it was the Cardinals to the
Against
Astros.
The Astros.
It was the Cardinals
yeah.
to the Astros. Like, that is...
That's the worst cheating of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody went to big boy prison
well,
for that
yeah,
one.
that's insane.
Yeah, but I didn't see a two-year witch hunt for something like that
yeah.
either.
But sign stealing is obviously very prevalent. You know, and there's always rumors in Toronto that they do it, right? Like, teams are always afraid in Toronto that they're doing it. The Red Sox in this series, and even in the last series, a ton of times with no runners on base, will do multiple signs. Like, the catcher's doing signs as though there's a guy in second base. So they're a little leery of that. But aren't you surprised they would do it against Alex Cora? Because Alex Cora knows everything that those guys do. They probably did it all last year,
Yeah, but I got to be honest with you. Based on the story as it's being reported, if somebody from the Indians hadn't tipped off the Red Sox, I'm not sure they would have done anything. So again, the Passan story.
No. I'm saying. Yeah, I'm surprised the Astros are even doing it against Alex Cora. Because wouldn't Cora? This is like the Patriots doing it to Mangini.
If you think this guy had done it when Alex was in the organization, and maybe he did.
Yeah,
all of the accusations are from this year.
No, I know they are, but so maybe it is a new thing. But my guess is this is maybe something that they've done before. And so that's why it's like Bill Belichick trying to do the same stuff to Eric Mangini, and then Mangini be like, "You serious with this?"
So,
now, I know Cora's not the one saying anything
right,
about it.
Hasn't said anything.
My point is, why would you, a guy that has so much inside knowledge of how you do things, why would you try to pull this off?
So three sources told Jeff Passan that there have been a number of investigations into the Astros looking to gain a competitive advantage. Late August game against the A's, players noticed Astros players clapping in the dugout before pitches, believed they were relaying signs to the batter's box. The A's called the league, which said, "We'll investigate this."
Yeah, they will. They'll get to the bottom
of that. It's unclear what the result of the investigation was or whether it remains ongoing.
Mm.
Two major league players said they have witnessed the Astros hitting a trash can in the dugout in recent years. It does say that. It's believed as a way to relay signs to hitters. The Los Angeles Dodgers believed the Astros were stealing signs during the World Series last season, according to two sources.
This obviously goes back.
So the whole thing here is the commissioner of baseball knows full well what they're doing. He's been called in to investigate this stuff in the past, and he continues to sweep it under the rug because that'll look bad for our game. So we got to, don't say anything.
So what they got to do, they need to do what the NFL did, and they need to send a very sternly worded email.
Sternly worded.
To everybody
yes, yeah.
and say, "Hey, we're cutting this out." And then if you continue to do it, then that's where you get the big time punishments. Right? Like, isn't that the only way to clear it up? I mean, you do one more. Because you're right. They don't want it to be a story. They don't want the World Series, where they have the most eyeballs on the game, and one of the topics we're discussing is how they cheat and how they have, you know, plants, you know, next to the dugout, and they're relaying messages. I don't know if it's on an Apple Watch or not. We've heard about that as well.
So here's this guy, Maury Brown, who does, he is a reporter for Forbes, writes for Pro baseball prospectus or something.
Okay.
A BBWAA member.
Good for him.
He writes the story on Forbes. Quote, sources.
Nice.
Astros were not cheating against the Red Sox in game one of the ALCS.
Oh, they weren't?
Oh, no, no.
Oh.
No, no.
Oh.
It says, late on Tuesday, a source with knowledge of the situation, but asked to speak anonymously,
yeah,
said that while the person in question was with the Astros,
okay,
he was actually trying to ensure that the Red Sox were not the ones cheating.
How could you ever believe that?
How did this guy get sold this bill of goods?
How could you even believe that?
When Jeff Passan says, oh, yeah, the A's reported him, the Dodgers reported him, there's this, there's that, there's...
So he's spying...
The Indians threw this guy out last series.
But, like, that's not even believable. To think that a guy is spying on the other team's dugout, taking pictures and texting to make sure that they're not doing that to them? Is that essentially what we're talking about? But that would be dumb anyway. So you have a guy from the Astros sitting next to the Red Sox dugout, staring into their dugout. Well, if they're doing the same thing, you're missing the guy on the other side of the field staring into the Astros dugout. Like, you're not policing anything. You're just trying to gain an advantage.
So here's the way this baseball whiz bang, Maury Brown, closed out his epic piece for Forbes magazine. Quote, as to whether there will be any further investigation around the incident, the matter has now been closed by MLB.
Is that right? Closed?
No, I don't think it's right at all. I think some guy from the Astros said, Maury,
we're all done with this now. We're done.
We're all good, Maury. Don't you worry, bud.
We don't want to talk about this anymore. I think it does help that they're the Houston Astros, though. I think if it was the Yankees, if it was the Red Sox, Dodgers, or Cubs.
Oh, there would be, there would be a bigger deal. Yeah. If it were the Red Sox.
Yeah, it'd be a much bigger story than this. They're going to try to sweep it under the rug. I don't know if it's the biggest deal, though, to be honest. Like, do you think it's a big deal?
Well, according to Rob Bradford,
WEEI.com,
writing on WEEI.com, a Major League Baseball source told him, this is a big deal. So this is a Major League, and the way I read Rob's piece was a source from within the offices of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal. Now, if it is, and we can argue about how important it is.
Yeah.
If it is, you could talk about the fact that apparently they've been reported on a number of occasions in the past and presumably have been warned by Rob Manfred, the gutless wonder.
Yes.
To, at some point, hey, knock it off.
Well, so that's the biggest problem. That's obnoxious. And that's kind of, again, you know.
That goes back to Belichick and Spygate.
Exactly. You're like, all right, you've been warned several times. And even though what you're doing is kind of out in the open and you're filming, you're just not filming in the right spot. We've told you several times now to not do that.
We sent a sternly worded letter to
read,
you.
Did you not get it? Is it in your spam? Do you need to check? Like, what? You need to read that email and please stop doing it. And they're like, yeah, fine. And they keep doing it. So they got in trouble. So I think they do kind of mirror each other. Now, this one, this is kind of compounding things, because the Belichick one, at least from everything that I believe, that was sort of taking that and then spinning it forward, taking that information and using it maybe later on, using it in other games. Whereas this seems like you're trying to use it more in game, right? Like, if you're texting, because that's another no-no. You can't text down to the sideline. Remember, like, there's been players or teams, the Red Sox got in trouble for the Apple Watch. Like, you can't do that stuff. Every guy in the dugout, not every guy, most guys in the dugout are trying to pick up something. Right, Cora, one of the great sign stealers out there. That's what they've all said about him. A lot of those utility guys are really good at that. They'll keep an eye on the catcher. They'll keep an eye on the third base coach. They'll do all that stuff and try to gain an advantage. But when you have another guy taking pictures and staring into the dugout, that's you can't do that.
Well, Brian Anderson and Ron Darling have made the point over and over and over during
have
this
they?
Series.
I can't stand those guys.
They've made the point, well, they're using multiple signs even though there's nobody on base. So evidently they thought that this was all possible.
Of course. And again, Cora knows the Astros, so he knows what
they're
up to.
He knows exactly.
So he's like, fine. But so what does he do? You got to respect Cora. Rather than go talk to MLB and complain about it, he's like, all right, fine. We'll change our signs. Fine. We'll do multiple signs all the time. Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out.
I got to give you one more thing from Maury. Because Maury,
love
just,
this. Maury
made my day today.
Maury,
okay?
He's having a tough time.
Maury Brown, quote, in September of last year, I'm doing my dramatic voice because I think this is how Maury wrote it.
This is how Maury speaks? Yeah. Okay.
Red Sox trainer John Jochim was found to have been using an Apple Watch to steal signs from opponents.
That's correct.
The source that spoke to me
said
that the overzealous Astros employee was looking to ensure that what had happened last year
did
not happen to the current world champions as they look to return to the Fall Classic.
Making sure those guys don't have Apple Watches on. Smart. You know what?
Why was he doing it against Cleveland?
Again, they could also have Apple Watches. Francona was in the organization here. Maybe that's a
Why against the A's in August?
Well, that's a scrappy A's team. You know, they got to make sure.
Do you think Maury did any research at all, for God's sake?
No, I don't think he did. And I'm also guessing that sources
was a source.
Was a guy.
It was some guy who said, psst, Maury.
Maury.
Listen.
I'm hearing this.
There is nothing
Here's
here.
The deal.
I'm going to tell you, this is nothing.
Here's the deal. Also, if they were cheating, they didn't do the best job of it last night with the two runs that they scored. You know, they could do a little bit better on that. And they're also trailing 2-1 in the series. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of an advantage to them. I don't get it. But it is weird how Major League Baseball is just trying to, you know, they're like, nope, this is going to be bad publicity. So we're just going to kind of ignore this.
How about an American League executive who said the Astros are the Patriots of the American League?
They got to win a little bit more.
Well, I don't think they were talking about the winning part.
Oh.
They were talking about the cheating part.
Yeah, see, that's why as a Patriots fan, I'm not going to get too worked up about the Astros because I think that there is some overlap. There are some similarities here.
See, I think that they were doing more than just stealing signals, though. When you've got a guy positioned outside the dugout in a camera well where he doesn't have a credential for, and he's photographing into your dugout, he's taking pictures.
What else is it?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's probably signals and pitches and whatever else.
I think that if you've got a runner at second base and he's looking in and he sees, oh, you're going to throw a fastball, and he makes a sign to the guy at the plate, that's your fault, okay?
Right.
But if you've got a guy taking pictures into the dugout.
Yeah, it's a little much.
That's a little extreme. Sort of takes it a little further down the road, doesn't it?
A little extreme. But I go back to the Patriots. You know, if they're studying the other team's signals. I understand the signals are out there in the open. Like it's a little bit worse. This might be a little bit worse, but I think they're very much alike.
Now we got a series.
Yeah.
Now we got an investigation.
Back on. Move over, Bregman.
We got guys being bum rushed out of the stadium. Now we got ourselves a series.
I am excited to see if the Red Sox win the series, what kind of response they have to Bregman, much like they had the Aaron Judge response. The problem is, you can't really have a bunch of highlights of Bregman striking out or playing poorly because all he does is get on base and make Gold Glove web gems, but they'll figure something out.
They're going to have to find somebody else to help this guy out. That's all there is to
it. Pick on somebody else, maybe.
We got a lot of stuff we'll talk about. Obviously, baseball at the top. Celtics, nice win last night.
Yeah.
Celtics, nice win without a whole lot from Kyrie Irving,
really. Not much at all. Yeah.
But still, nice win.
Win's a win.
Over the 76ers. Of course, there's a football game in Chicago this Sunday. Tom E. Kern will join us in the 1 o'clock hour to talk about that.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Major League Baseball is looking into an incident during Game 1 of the ALCS in which an Astros employee was seen near the Red Sox dugout with a camera. The Astros, sources tell ESPN's Buster Olney, sent the employee just to see if the Red Sox were breaking any rules. However, the Indians also filed a complaint against Houston, alleging they tried to film inside Cleveland's dugout during Game 3 of the ALDS. Now, Red Sox manager Alex Cora, a former Astros coach, said post-game, quote, "We don't get caught up in the whole paranoia thing of the signs. If we feel there's something going on, we switch the signs."
Well, good news, everybody. Rob Manfred has taken the bull by the horns this morning. He has come down very hard. The punishment has already been decided. Tom Brady's been suspended for 4 games.
Oh, come on, Dale.
Well, you know, you got to go right after this thing.
He doesn't have the authority to do that.
Well, he was trying.
This is Dale's new rival, by the way, Rob Manfred. I didn't see that coming. You guys
liked Rob Manfred.
Not anymore.
Well, I mean, how many investigations would he have swept under the rug? How many times?
Yeah, how many stuff have we missed, probably?
Well, I mean, the Dodgers thought it in the World Series last year. You've had the A's, the Indians this year.
Maybe the Astros are just super paranoid, and they send a scout out there to make sure that they aren't getting hacked into.
By the way, if...
After what the Cardinals did to them, they probably have, you know, PTSD.
According to a piece that was written by Jason Stark, after the Indians-Astros series, it was the Indians who contacted the front offices of teams who might be playing the Astros next. Not just the Red Sox, but the Yankees as well.
Interesting.
And said, look, just so you're aware, this is what's going on.
Some shady business. If they
hadn't done that, Rob Manfred would have swept this one under the rug, too. Come on now, fellas. I've told you not to do
that. Guys, it's a great time to be a baseball fan. Let's knock it off, please. Let's stop doing this. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, fine. Send a guy out there again. And who knows what they do at their own ballpark? Because that's where teams can really get the advantage. They have different cameras set up. They can talk to people in the outfield. They can zoom in. They can do all. They have so much more control at home. So they were trying to get an advantage on the road by just bringing a guy over there without a credential, just hanging out by the dugout. Just very, very bizarre.
I'm trying to figure out, and I'm looking at this guy. Yeah, this guy, and they've got the picture of him in Cleveland taking pictures into the Indians' dugout. I mean, it's clear as a bell.
He's just a big fan.
He doesn't. What he has is some sort of a credential on his chest.
And that in Cleveland, he did. I don't think in Boston he did.
In Boston, he didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe because after he got chucked out in Cleveland, they said, well, we can't very well ask for a credential for this guy.
He got chucked out in Boston, but then one of the guys from Houston was like, no, he's good.
Oh, yeah, no, the Houston guys tried to save him.
They're like, no, he's with us. He's, you know, but he's not, but he is.
He's not doing anything, but if he wasn't with us.
Nothing to see here. I'd like to see his camera. I'd like to see all the pictures that he's taken.
Well, he posted a lot of them on Instagram. You'll be surprised to hear that Instagram account got taken down last night.
Yeah, not available? Now, like Bregman's post?
Unfortunately for Kyle, Jeff Passan screenshotted a bunch of these things.
I'm sure it lives on, everything else.
He kept a bunch of them, but evidently the entire account, the Instagram account with lots of photos on it,
yeah,
sort of disappeared sometime last night.
Interesting.
I probably take more delight in this than I should, simply because if you're a Patriots fan, you've been the accused for so long. It's kind of nice to see somebody else get accused against one of your teams.
But then I don't think that the Patriots won because of what they did, so I'm not going to look at the Astros. I can't do that. I can't really blame the Astros for trying to do this. I am interested to see what Major League Baseball does and how they figure this out and how dumb they're going to end up looking, but I think most teams are trying to do something. Maybe it's not stick a guy on the next to the dugout taking pictures and then texting, but I'm sure most teams are doing something.
I've heard initial reports, that Danny Picard is up for a Pulitzer.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure
It is a good report.
Well, you know,
Nobody else had this.
I'm telling you.
No.
If he hadn't done this, this would have disappeared.
A hero?
I don't think that's too strong a word.
Yeah.
Not for me, anyway.
Danny Picard,
all heroes wear capes.
That's right.
Thank you, Danny.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Sean's out in Idaho. Hey, Sean.
Hello, and good morning there, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good morning.
I'm doing good, too. You know, I've been listening to what you guys have been saying about the whole cheating scandal thing with the Astros. And, my view is that I think it's going to, if you look at the ALCS, I think with the Red Sox, I don't think it's going to bother them that much. But with the Astros, my view of it is, I think you gentlemen would agree with me about this. I think it's going to come to a lot of scrutiny with them. It certainly makes the organization look bad, especially when you came off winning the World Series last year. It doesn't make the Astros owner look good. It doesn't make Nolan Ryan feel good and the Astros president. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't think it'll take away from their World Series win last year. No, the Dodgers probably tried.
Again, there's not as many Astros haters as there are Patriot haters. And it's the Patriot haters that breathe life into the Spygate, Deflategate stuff still, right? Like, everybody, I think most people have moved on from it.
They hate the
Patriots. The haters, so yes. Like, Steeler fans are going to keep bringing it up. So I don't know who is an Astros hater, but those are the ones that are going to say, hey, would they win the World Series without that? Or, oh, they're doing this. And like, they wouldn't have all the success if they weren't cheating. Like, you'll get some of that, but it won't be nearly on the same level as the Patriots.
Now, Jason Stark brings up a good point in the piece that he wrote today. You're seeing the results of this every night, every game. You're seeing pitchers step off the mound, batters step out of the box.
Oh, my God. Forever.
Another set of signals and then step out of the box again and step off the mound again.
Well,
it has slowed the pace of these games to a crawl.
Well, that's why, too. And I don't know if it's just bad catching or if it's also because of this, but one of the things
they're getting crossed up a lot, aren't they?
All the pass balls, yeah. All the wild pitches. Yeah, they absolutely are.
They're running so many signals out there. They're going, oh,
yeah, what
God,
was the pitch?
What was the indicator on this
one? And then when you're throwing 101, you better be prepared for that. And when all of a sudden there was a fastball outside that Vasquez just missed. Now,
right off his glove.
I don't know if that was a sign thing or not, but I'm sure you know some of those are lumped into that.
Joe's in West Springfield. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Joe.
What's going on?
I just wanted to say I love your show, guys. Listen to it every morning.
Thank you.
And just wanted to kind of talk about a little bit lighter topic. How about Nathan Eovaldi, huh?
Stud. What a stud this guy is.
Oh, my gosh. Yankee killer.
Yep.
And the Astro killer.
Astro killer, too.
Well, so far.
He's the best.
He is. Look, we said it. Who would have thought going into the playoffs that Nathan Eovaldi would be your best pitcher? On a staff that's got Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello.
Remember, I asked
you Dale, didn't say the best pitcher.
I think I did.
You did not. Paulson,
yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Well, before the playoffs started.
Yes, remember I asked you. I go, who are the three pitchers you have the most confidence in? And I think you said
Ryan Brazier.
Brazier was on your list, and then I think Sale and Kimbrel maybe
could be. Yeah,
and I think I had Eovaldi on my list. Rossi will find it. He's a great producer. He'll locate that bad boy,
or just make it up if you can't find it. Eamon do Rich's voice.
But Joe, he's been great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
No problem.
Thanks,
now, I think he also is going to make himself a lot of money because he missed all last season with an injury. And then to see him show up this way in the playoffs, and he was solid with the Red Sox in the regular season. He had a couple of stinkers. He did. His first couple starts were great. He leveled off. You know, his ERA with the Sox was 3.33 in 11 starts. And now watching him pitch in the playoffs like this, he is going to absolutely cash in. Because he's proven that he's healthy. He's throwing the ball extremely hard. He throws gas up there.
Every time.
Holy smokes.
I want to thank my fellow Maine resident who...
Oh, yeah? Another maniac
texted,
on there?
Who texted and said, heroes wear military uniforms, not capes or cameras.
All right. Have a little fun.
Finely honed sense of sarcasm there, don't you, sir?
Have a little bit of fun, would you?
God.
It's a throwaway
line.
Come on.
Not all heroes wear capes is a throwaway line. Jerry Thornton has made a living off that line, for God's sakes.
It's a great line.
Come on.
You want to take it very literally? All right. Relax. Yes, Danny Picard is not a hero for writing the reports.
He is for me.
Dale, people might not understand
Pulitzer,
what you're saying.
I think.
They might not get it.
It's the very least we can do.
How about this, though? Two starts in the postseason for Nathan Eovaldi. 13 innings, 3 earned runs. That's a 2.08 ERA.
They just don't
lose.
Here
we go. Hey, don't look now, but Nathan Eovaldi, he might
He is a playoff starter for me.
Starter?
Starter.
Hmm. I kind of want him in the out of the
pen,
though.
Thanks very much.
Not the one. Not the one.
Oh,
that's not the one.
Much.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, he's a
about.
Great producer. He'll come up with
no,
it.
No, Rossi, dump that.
Two false statements here. I'm not a great producer.
No.
We know that.
Yes, you
and
are.
Number two.
Yes, you are. That's not the Eovaldi sound I was looking for.
That's what you said.
But then I wanted him to start game 3. I knew he was going to beat the Yankees. I wanted him to start game 2 of that series and game 2 of this series, I said.
They just don't lose.
Hey, don't look now, but Nathan Eovaldi.
You son of a gun. He is a playoff starter for me.
Starter?
Starter.
Hmm. I kind of want him in the out of the pen,
though. Thank you,
because
Keith.
I relied on
him.
No, Rossi, that is not the cut I was looking for. I said he's their best he's their best pitcher.
You know what you
I
like,
loved Eovaldi.
You're like one of those cut calls.
Find
says,
the cut!
You're like one of those guys who calls and says, remember what I called back in March? Go back, get the tape.
Yeah,
you'll hear what I
you
said.
You guys probably remember I said this.
You guys probably remember. Well, you're right.
Rossi, how
Rossi's a
dare
good
you bring that up?
Who can find stuff? At a moment's
That's
notice.
That's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about, remember we did the three pitchers that we trusted the most. We did that. That was a power rankings exercise. Everybody was excited about it. We got a lot of good feedback on that. And I had Eovaldi in my top three. Maybe even number one. Probably number one.
You're going to double down.
It's there. It's in the.
Chris Sale was your number one.
No, he wasn't.
Of course he was.
No, he wasn't.
Nathan Eovaldi?
Going into the playoffs?
No, sorry,
I thought
David
Sale's
Price.
Arm was going to fall off. He wasn't.
David Price was your number one.
No,
only
he
one you said.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure you said David Price.
What? Me? I said David Price? No, what? I didn't want him on the playoff roster.
I'm pretty sure you said Price.
I said David Price? You're out of your mind.
We'll find the audio.
This is outrageous.
What I'm sure you said.
What show is this? I said Price? Come on, Rossi. Tune in.
We did. You heard it.
There's three scenarios for David Price. Starter, bullpen, never see him again.
That was you saying he was number one.
I think that's
when
what you
was
were
that?
Saying.
When was that?
October 8th.
All right, so this is getting confusing because that was before the playoffs started? That was after his bad start. All right. I sounded under the weather there, too.
Had a little sniffle.
Doesn't sound much different right now.
No, I know. I'm still fighting this thing off. I don't sound great. I'll give you that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You don't worry, Keith. If you say it, we'll play it. 617.
By the end of the show.
779-7937. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. I mean, we're sitting here complaining about them. They just don't lose.
Hey, and don't look now, but Nathan Eovaldi,
he is a playoff starter for me.
Starter?
Starter.
I kind of want him in the out of the pen, though. I don't know.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Six one seven, 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We will talk football sometime today as well. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us just after 1 o'clock today, as we like to do on Wednesdays, and talk about the Patriots, their game Sunday in Chicago against the Bears. But a lot of baseball. We'll get to some Celtics later on as well, and we could break down Dave Bautista's big return to.
Was he back?
Oh,
how about that? Looking good.
Good for him.
He's sort of, his head's weird.
He's a weird head?
He's got the bumps and stuff on his head that look a little
strange.
What's
wrong with that? Bumps on the head? We can't all be perfect specimens like you, Dale.
It looks like his brain is covered by a very thin membrane of
just
skin.
Yeah,
like
a little bit of skin, like a thin layer of skin?
Yes.
So you can see his brain through
his... Well, I don't think you can, but that's what it looks like.
Maybe you can. He has no skull. It's just brain
and skin. I think Dale's
trying
to say he's a thin skull.
So it's just brain and skin.
And really weird red glasses. But that's a story for another
jacked,
day.
Though. He's in great shape.
He's coming back.
All natural, too.
He's coming back to fight Triple H.
Really?
They set it up last
night. Now, are they still fighting in Saudi Arabia? Have they determined that?
They were running promos for it last night.
So they're sticking by that thing, huh?
The way it looks right now is as of this coming Monday, if they are still promoting it, they are going. And reports out of WWE is that if Donald Trump says they cannot go, that's the only way that's going to stop them.
He's not going to do that. I don't think. He might go with them.
He might be involved.
Hair versus hair match.
Hair versus hair thing.
He's back in.
Vince will get shaved bald this time.
Yeah, that's a weird situation going on there.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Eddie. Hey, Eddie. All right, you're not
I'll
ready,
put Eddie,
Eddie.
On hold.
That's all right. Hang in there, Eddie.
Let's try John in Boston. Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Not too much. I just wanted to retouch on the security thing. I've worked the Super Bowl a couple times when I used to work for Canon. That security is beyond tight. They do Corey stories. They did background checks, different security badges for every day, especially on game day. Also, I've worked with a company that delivered food to Gillette, which is also tight security. The thing with Fenway, I've never been, I don't know. But what I've noticed, and if you guys remember, there was a guy that wanted to go see Tiger Woods play just recently. He also pretended to be a media/news reporter, and he got on. Not only did he get on, they carted him around so he could take pictures. I think that's the flaw, that when it comes to media, they're less likely.
Well, this guy's not a media member. He works for the Astros.
Well, he claims he doesn't. Now, all of a sudden, it's, you know, this team badge. See here.
Right. I mean, they're trying not to make it such a direct connection, but he's not just doing it. He's not there for fun.
I wonder who it was from the Red Sox who reported this guy to Major League Baseball. They had been tipped off, reportedly, by the Indians. Somebody had to have said, hey, remember that guy they were telling us about? That's him. See him right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think Cora has to know what's going on.
But does he know who this guy is?
No, he may not. I mean, I don't know if that guy has been in the organization for a long time, or at least, you know, been connected to the organization. I don't know. But he has to know kind of what they're up to. And then if, on top of that, the Indians tipping you off, you're saying, okay. And then maybe there was something obvious in the game, like something not that we would pick up, and maybe something obvious, like, you know, a player on the dugout said something or clapped or did whatever it was. And you're like, all right, these guys, like, we're going out of our way to make sure you can't steal our signs. So if you're still stealing them, we know something's up.
Or maybe it was as obvious as this picture that Jeff Passan posted of him standing right beside the Indians' dugout with his phone up to his face taking pictures into the dugout.
Could be. Could be that.
He wasn't being real sneaky.
No, it's easy to do sneaky pics. Just do, like, nonstop selfie. Just be selfie guy.
Oh, yeah, selfie
just, like,
guy.
Hold it up over your shoulder. Like, click, click, click. You're like, oh, that guy really loves being at the game. You're like, no.
That would have been better.
He's looking in the dugout.
Be sneaky selfie guy.
Sneaky selfie guy. Get the stick. Are those even allowed at Fenway anymore? They might have gotten rid of those. The sticks are probably...
Yeah, you probably can't.
They went out of fashion kind of quick, didn't they? You used to see idiots walking around the street
all the time.
Yeah, the
minute we bought one for my daughter, and all of a sudden nobody wanted them anymore.
Like, oh, no thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. It's, good. Had to have it, and then the minute she got it, it was, I'm not carrying this thing around. Let's try Eddie on the cell phone again. Hey, Eddie.
That's really funny. You know, I was in Walmart yesterday, and there was a lady in there dressing. She had all her stuff hanging out, and I had to take a picture. I just couldn't let it go. But I did it.
Whoa, back up.
Eddie,
you took a picture of a woman in Walmart?
You did an upskirt?
What it was, she wasn't in Walmart. We were in Walgreens, but she should have been in Walmart. That's what she should have been.
Eddie, what? A picture of a woman? A sneaky picture of a woman?
I'm not even sure she was a woman. What she was.
Either way, I feel like it's a bit.
Oh, that's better then. It's okay then.
It's a bit creepy. You can't be taking pictures of people in public.
No. Listen to me. This is one of these people when they got all their fat hanging out of their midriff and they really shouldn't have that hanging out. You're like, oh my God, I got to take a picture.
So now you're fat shaming this person.
What? So you can relive that moment and you can share it with people?
Actually, I can't relive it because it was just too uncomfortable to look at. But
you couldn't get it up on the internet quick enough, could you?
Photo of that.
No, I didn't put it up. I actually didn't put it up. Jeez. It was one of those things where I go, I can't believe I'm standing behind this. It was just an incredible thing.
I mean, all shapes and sizes, Eddie. That's what happens.
We've all been there.
Yeah, listen, I guess.
Last night, as far as this accusation against Houston,
here we go.
I used to work for the Orlando Arena, and you can't get into certain areas if you're not credentialed. And if the Houston player, or whoever, not the Houston player, but if someone with the Astros didn't come along and say, vouch for this guy, you might be able to play this off like, oh, he was somebody that shouldn't have been there. He worked his way down. Not only was he there, but Houston and their organization wanted to keep him there. And if Major League Baseball doesn't address this after this has gone on with three or four teams over a period of a couple of years, it's going to be a bigger problem than it is right now if they don't address it.
See, that's the thing. It's not that this guy did it. It's not that it's helping them win. They're trailing 2-1 in the series right now.
Yeah, I don't think
it's the fact that Major League Baseball keeps trying to pretend that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, right.
That they keep trying to bury it. Oh, no, don't say
you can't ignore it, and that seems to be making it a little bit worse. I'm with you. I don't think it's the most egregious thing in the world by any means, especially as a Patriots fan, because I don't look at that as their reason for success. So I'm not saying that's what it is with Houston either. But if all these teams are aware of it and they're like, would you knock it off? And then they're like, they just keep doing it. That's annoying.
By the way, speaking of giving credit where credit is due, because I do want to do this.
Give me some?
No, hell no. I just heard your tape. I heard your audio.
We have more audio.
Oh, I bet we do.
Yeah.
So I did tweet this out last night. A guy sent me. There's a website that breaks down every single pitch of a baseball game. Joe West was really good. Great last night.
And just look at
according to this,
he was great. He
hit like 95% of his pitches that they were called correctly. And
I mean, it was the best home plate umpire, not only of the series, but probably of the postseason for the Red Sox, where I've watched every single
pitch. Not even close.
Like every time
they had
the box, it was dead on. Now, there was a couple maybe that were like just below the little box, but even the box, you don't know if that's 100% every guy's strike zone. But he was great, and it was consistent for both teams.
According to this website, he called 105 of 105 balls correctly and called 54 of 55 strikes correctly.
I mean, that's
which means
good.
He got 159 of 160 pitches correct, which is 99.4%.
Yeah. There was like a really high pitch he called on Reddick, but like for the most part, it was really, really good. I was surprised.
I mean, I don't even know what world we're living in where I'm giving Joe West for stuff.
He has kind of a lazy strike call too. He's just like strike. You're like get into it a little bit. Not. Have a good time.
Strike. And they had him mic'd up when the bat took him in the mask. He says, "Well, it's the right place to
hit me in the head." Like, why don't you write a song about it, Joe? Get out of here.
I mean, as bad as we've killed the umpires.
It was good. It was
and deservedly so.
Oh,
in some
so let me
cases.
Ask you this. That play off the wall in left field or
absolutely off the wall. Absolutely, positively off
times.
The wall. I've seen a couple of different angles. Yeah. The one I tweeted,
texted
to you guys,
yeah, that one,
that was clear.
That one was clear because when I watched it in real time, you have no idea.
I thought he made the catch.
I thought he caught it. Then the first replay I saw on Twitter, I watched it 1,000 times and I'm like, I think he caught it. But then there's the one where you can really see it dent into, like it even darkens the area because the ball hits. Because they have It's like a knockoff Green Monster. So
it's
kinda,
just a cheap imitation.
So dumb.
Come on.
So we're going to have a Green Monster, but half the height. Like, why?
And let's make it out of rubber.
Yeah. So anyway, they have like the little area like where you can put the scores in. And so his glove goes into that. So I thought maybe the glove pushed that into the wall a little bit and he made the catch. But it bounced so perfectly. I think it was. I think it was off the wall. I think he trapped it.
Tom Karen, my Nesson colleague,
yes,
is the one who came up with the angle that I showed you guys.
That was probably the best one.
And it was clear on that one that the ball hit the wall. Now, I don't know how you call that real time. And I'm not even sure that's the sort of thing you have a chance to look
at. That one's really tough. And good job by Kemp to sell it. Obviously, that's what anybody else would do. But that's another reason. I mean, obviously, I wanted the Red Sox to win because I want the Red Sox to win. But that would have been the worst if they lost and then that play still was there, because then you easily could have gone back to that and said two runs could have scored and what the hell is going on here?
I guess you really put into question, though, what is the review system?
The review system is trash. The review system is so bad. How about going back?
Oh, we don't know what it is because they don't do it at the stadium anymore. They have somebody in New York.
Anderson's like, well, I'm not sure what they're doing here because you can't review this.
Did you hear Major League's explanation?
Yeah.
Joe wanted a clarification on the rule.
Rule's the same.
Boy, it took forever to find that rule and read it off to him, didn't it?
There's a lot of rules, but umpires need to know them. That's kind of the gig.
Part of the job.
That's
kind of
what you do.
We just gave Joe West all this credit, now we're kicking him around a little bit.
No, just the reviews drive me nuts, and you want to get the plays right, but even then you don't always get them right, and then it's just like that game, and I'm not complaining. I'm not one of these guys that complains about start times or how long the games are. Maybe I am about how long the games are.
Yeah,
because you're watching, I'm like, holy smokes, the game takes forever. But then the game on its own takes forever. And then you add in all these replays, and you're like, how about the Dodgers game last night? 5.5 hours?
But it was a very fast-paced 5.5 hours.
Ugh.
Went really quick, you think?
Last night, was it first inning took, what, 45 minutes, felt like? Or actually, I don't even know if it felt like. That's just what it was. So tonight, 8:39 first pitch. What are we looking at for a last pitch?
I think by the time of the show tomorrow.
12:49. No, yeah, hopefully.
At 10 a.m.
Well, it's on. Yeah, so we should be on at 10, but if Mutt might be wrapping up post-game around then. But I'm looking forward to it regardless.
And he can go right into the morning show.
Go right on in. I'm not complaining, because the alternative could be your team is home and not in the ALCS
and
like they were the last 5 years.
And I understand
years.
You're flip-flopping afternoon games and night games.
Yeah.
And L.A.'s going to play a 2 o'clock game today, which is fine. I mean, occasionally you play an afternoon game in the week. You can't play them all. This is the classic Jerry Callahan rant, where he thinks even if a California team is involved, you got to play it at 7 o'clock East Coast time. Well, that's not really realistic.
No, it's not. So that's fine.
But doesn't it make more sense to do it that way for the fans? So you have a 2 o'clock start in L.A. and then an 8
o'clock
start.
But they don't want to make the Red Sox and Astros have to play at 5 o'clock back-to-back days. They're trying to be, you know, at least make it as fair as they can.
But how is that not fair if they're playing at 5 o'clock and the other team's playing at 5 o'clock, technically? They both start at the same time.
Or should the Red Sox play at 7 and then the Dodgers play at 10? That's too late.
East Coast fans hate that.
No, I know. But how many East Coast fans are watching
Bruins
5 hours?
Bruins play at 9:30 tonight. I was going to have a late night anyway.
No, that's a good point.
The ratings weren't affected. The game did great. 5 o'clock start. I think that's the perfect spot.
Yeah, 5 o'clock start's perfect because by the time you get to the late innings, it's prime time. They should do that. They should probably do more 6 o'clock starts or something like that. Because then by the time
I had to miss the start of the Celtics game because I thought they were going to have things wrapped up by 8 something.
I thought
they
were too. But then there were the pitching changes. Then Bradley's hitting a grand slam. I'm like, all right, Celtics time.
And then as we said, you've got, you know, everybody stepping out of the box. Everybody stepping off the rubber.
God.
They have taken this game and just slowed it to a crawl.
Pace of play is a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
And it's all because of this sign stuff.
The sign stuff is a big, big problem with it. You're right.
617-779-7937. Luke's up in Maine. Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys. So I've made a commitment. If the Red Sox win the World Series this year, I'm renaming my dog Steve Pierce.
Ooh.
Because
he's been really good.
I'll tell you, your dog's going to be confused, though, by it. Maybe just get another dog and name him Steve Pierce.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
He was awesome. Defensively, the train wreck at third base, he bailed him out so many times, receiving balls from Devers and Nunez. And he was, wasn't he the one that was like 2 feet shy hitting a three-run home run?
The ball scraper. That was Pierce, I believe, right? Yeah.
Then Bradley's getting all the kudos, but Pierce had the game-leading home run to get ahead of them again.
Absolutely.
So, crushed it.
Crushed that thing into the seats. That was great.
He's unbelievable. And also on that note, you know, we've all we've all been giving Dombrowski a ton of heat about the bullpen and what he didn't do. But, you know, think of it this way. I mean, without Steve Pierce and Nathan Eovaldi, where would we be right now?
Yeah, they'd be in trouble. They'd probably be down 2-1. I mean, you know, they were huge last night, obviously. I mean, Eovaldi goes 6. Pierce has the home run. And Pierce has been great in the field, way better than I thought he was in the field. And, like, when they acquired him, I just thought he was a guy that hits lefties. So when there's a lefty on the mound, Steve Pierce plays. So we all liked the move. I mean, do you think they won the Steve Pierce Santiago Espinal trade? You think they won that
one? I saw you post that last night. Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, I think they did okay.
So Pierce for Espinal and Eovaldi for Beeks.
Beeks at least was playing in the major leagues.
Beeks is a human that we've seen. Yeah, I don't know who this other person is. We actually know
who he is.
He's a real guy, but I would take Eovaldi. And then even adding Kinsler, I know he hasn't been great, but he gives you another, you know, major league second base. Good defensively. He's had a few hits in the playoffs. We all wanted them to add a reliever. They didn't do that, but in reality, they needed that starter. The starter became the biggest need. He's been their best guy first two series.
Pierce has been huge.
He's been great.
By the way, defensively, he's been as good as Moreland, who's won a gold glove.
Very flexible over there. He's deceivingly
flexible. He's a
flexible
lad. I don't know if you've noticed that.
All it is splits, because Nunez
he looks like Jean-Claude Van Damme. When he would do that thing where he'd have the feet out and he'd be with the weights.
He looks just like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Can they throw it to his glove? Like,
no,
why can't,
no,
he can't
you're
just
not allowed.
Stand there and have the ball hit him in the mitt? Like, he's always on the ground.
Let's be honest, if it's coming from third, it's not going to the glove.
That's a real problem. Nunez, Devers, I mean, they got away with it last night. But can you get away with it every single night?
And then we find out that Nunez is hurt. His ankle's hurt.
He always looks hurt. Always looks hurt.
Alex said after the game, he is hurt.
Now he's for real hurt.
Now we mean it this time.
Yeah, okay, fine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.